Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Merry Christmas, friends. Today we are going to be talking about how to do the holidays well on the field. And I'm really excited. I have two friends with me, Sam and Micah. Welcome, friends. Glad you could join.
Thank you.
Sam has been on the podcast before in a very, very popular episode on singleness on the field that I would recommend you all to listen to. And Sam is a proper Texan girl who loves her chips and salsa and serves in a mega city in South Asia, has been on the field for 11 years, and also loves dogs and Christmas, and is very good at celebrating Christmas and decorating for Christmas and enjoying it with her team, right?
Yes, praise the Lord.
And Micah is a friend and coworker, born and raised in Florida. So you're used to the tropical Christmases, Micah.
That's right.
And been serving in South Asia with her husband the last 10 years. And they are overseeing a team here that is focused on church planting and have two sweet daughters. So thanks so much, Micah. It's awesome to have you join us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I wanted to talk about this partially because I remember in my first term, it was a big adjustment for me to celebrate Christmas apart from my biological family and apart from all the American traditions that we grow up with. Now, after being on the field almost 20 years, I'm very used to that and even really enjoy aspects of spending Christmas on the field way more than I ever knew I would. And I'm assuming you all have some similar experiences like that. But I think one of the advantages of living in a context that doesn't really culturally celebrate Christmas is it does give us a chance to actually celebrate Jesus. It's much easier to, and there's just less things pulling at us. And so I do love that about Christmas in South Asia. So let's just talk a bit about how we can do the holidays well. But first, let's just talk about how we think rightly about celebrating Christmas. What do you think it really means to celebrate Christmas in a meaningful way?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, even as first considering ourselves and realizing that we're disciples of Christ. I immediately think of in Matthew 22, when we're given the greatest commandment, and that we're told that the whole law is summed up in loving God and loving our neighbor, loving the lost, right? So I think how we should certainly apply that to all areas of our lives, and especially Christmas, when we are celebrating really the most amazing thing that has happened, that Christ has come into the world. And so I think keeping it meaningful means doing that, stirring up our affections for loving God and for loving the lost. And I think about as a family, how we've done that is anything that we're doing, is it pointing us ultimately back to Christ and to the lost with Christmas? And so that, of course, we do all the fun stuff. We watch Elf. We do Christmas cookies and hot chocolate, but I think as much as possible to connect traditions to point us back to Christ. One more example would be with our gift giving. Our kids, it can be really easy to get carried away with all of that. And so with our gifts, we've decided that our kids get three gifts. They get a gold gift, a frankincense gift, and a myrrh gift. And we talk about receiving the way gifts that Jesus did. He got those three things. So their gold gift is kind of something that is really precious and special to them. Gold was precious. And then the way Jesus received it still is today, but their frankincense was something that was offered in the temples and kind of represented prayers leading up to God. And so their frankincense gift is something that's going to encourage their relationship with the Lord, help them to grow in knowing who he is. And then myrrh was something that was used for the body to preserve it for death. And so their myrrh gift is something that is just for their body. It could be clothing, perfume, but basically all of that to say, anything that we can do to really point not just our kids, but even ourselves back to like the true meaning of Christmas really helps us stir up our love for Christ, for God, and what it represents, and ultimately for the lost. So I think doing things like that really as disciples, that's the best way that we can celebrate Christmas.
I feel completely unable to answer this question with any level of intensity compared to Micah. You give your kids gifts to remind them about preparing the body for burial. That's just such intentionality that I both appreciate. And for where we are a little bit in our city, there is some Christmas stuff, you know, like there's a little bit of a Santa kind of emphasis. And so just trying to remember that it's about Jesus is something that just as a team, we also have to intentionally do, even though there is so much less of the like material stuff than is there in the US. Like all the people here know about Christmas really is Santa. Even in the churches, it's primarily about like the children's dances and making sure we have the proper programs, and very little about like remembering and celebrating that the Savior came to live amongst people. So I think it is important perspective wise, just to consistently amongst our team and amongst whatever kind of family situation we have to do those intentional things. Gosh, Micah, more intentional than me in a beautiful way that I'm going to learn from today. But also just being intentional feels like the first step. And I think we definitely have to do that. Otherwise, we'll just get lost in we miss the cold and we miss the holiday music and Target and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember in my first term, I kind of didn't like to do all of the sentimental Christmas stuff because it made me homesick.
Yeah,
that's changed over time. I had a few years ago, I remember it being like December 15th and realizing, oh my goodness, we didn't do Advent and I've barely thought about Christmas and I feel so behind. And it made me think about what are we supposed to do as followers and what's important. And it bothered me that I hadn't done much. And I think it's because it was a reflection of just being in too busy of a season. And so even my whole abiding life was really shallow. So it was more a reflection of that. And I think one of the things that is special about Christmas is that it's a rhythm in our life. It comes every year. Mm-hmm. It's just an encouragement to, hey, stop and think about the incarnation. Stop and think about Jesus and how amazing it is that Jesus became a baby. And I can't remember which author said this, but some really smart Christian author said that the incarnation was the biggest miracle that God ever performed. And I really resonated with that. So that is one of the reasons that I do try to take the effort to do Advent, to slow down, to sing Christmas songs, because it does help us worship God in a particular aspect of who God is in the incarnation. I also love how doing it on the fields gives us a chance to see American celebration of Christmas a bit from an outsider perspective. And I mean, I grew up with Santa Claus and have such awesome memories of my family doing Christmas. And I love all of that. When we moved overseas, it was just the two of us. And we had very, very simple Christmases pre-children. And we loved that. We were very minimalist. And then when we started adding kids, that did change. And we did start adding more of those traditions. And we saw how helpful that is and fun and even good for family bonding. But there was this moment where we had been doing Christmas on the field and it was so much more like, okay, in quotes here, about Jesus. And then we went back to the States and kind of had our first family Christmas in America with our kids with us. And it's like this avalanche of gifts just on the kids and all these activities and all these Christmas parties and Santa Claus. And we're just like throwing Christmas stuff at them. But yet at the same time, we're yelling, but it's all about Jesus, kids. It's all about Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, but here's another gift and here's another gift. And it was really this light bulb moment for me. Like our kids don't stand a chance. Now, that sounds really harsh, okay? In the moment, I was feeling critical of American culture. I have backed off on that, and I understand that it is so fun to be with our families, and I love how our families love on our kids. But it's a chance to step back and reflect on how we typically do Christmas in America, right? And I think that's one of the gifts, that in the midst of the homesickness that we might feel, that just pushes us towards the Lord.
No, I think it's accurate. I remember a couple years ago, we were stuck in the States for a while with the whole COVID thing, and ended up celebrating Christmas in America with our family. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was incredible. It was so great. But I remember going in the bedroom Christmas Day after we were like on the second round of gifts with my husband's side of the family. And I just remember going in the room and crying because I felt so overwhelmed by all this stuff. Just, it was so different than what we had been celebrating for years in the past. So, I mean, again, it was so great. You know, it was so precious to be with family, but it was overwhelming. I remember even thinking, my husband came, he's like, why are you crying? I'm like, I don't know. There's just so much stuff and wrapping paper. And I feel like, yeah, kind of like what you were saying, what does this have to do with Jesus? But there's a tension there for sure. And I think it's healthy for us to look at that and feel that tension and try to balance it out as much as we can. So.
It is a sweet family time. And I do love having my kids be with their grandparents. And I love being with my family too. So that is a really special aspect of it. So Micah, you were sharing a bit of your traditions with the three gifts per child and the meaning of each of those, and also watching some Christmas movies, doing cookies and hot chocolate. Sam, as a single, but with your close community that you have, how do you celebrate Christmas with your community?
Well, our whole team that's here, our national partners and our American friends, we have like some things that we do together as a whole community like that. And then we have a little bit of like the specific American culture team traditions also. So with our whole team, we now have this like classic, we'll just call it a tradition, where we we meet together every week on Wednesdays. So on the last Wednesday before Christmas, we have that as our Christmas party. And we are not very intentional with it. It's supposed to be like kind of chill time. My house is, of course, decorated since usually the middle of November. It's fine. It's fine. Don't judge. Y'all won't judge, but I mean anybody. No judgment for this. That's right. So because of that, we have a lovely stuck-on-the-wall fireplace that I have handcrafted. We have an IKEA mantle that sticks off the wall with some beautiful stockings hanging down and lots of lights around. And the Christmas tree that we had brought from America and have bought a special inverter for, and it has one job, and it is to work for this month and a half of the year, which is to keep the Christmas tree alive. Yeah, there's a lot of dedication here, I have to say. And our partners love it because they all, they've been believers various amounts of times, but none of them have a very intense, like, Christmas season kind of like celebratory traditions. A lot of them, any churches that they've planted, they're having to lead a lot of stuff. And mostly that means like organizing children's dances, which is, I think, a headache and difficult. They find a lot of joy in it, praise the Lord, but they also kind of drains them. And so they don't spend very much time just enjoying with these people that God has given us. So we facilitate that opportunity. They do all have to bring food. So we have the weirdest little potluck on that day because we have all these little South Asian things. And like our little America, we like mashed potatoes and like idli and sambar from the South. It's just a delightful mix. Always KFC though. Just that feels like an important thing to note. We have KFC religiously every holiday. And so we have that. We play like Christmas Pictionary, which is super fun because like, you just haven't lived until you have given the Pictionary of pregnant woman to an Indian person who has never had to draw a pregnant woman before, and to see how that goes and see how the guest is going. It just is really exciting. And so there's just a lot of fun and enjoyment, and it's Mary, the pregnant woman. That's important. It's Christmas themed Pictionary. It's not random Pictionary. I feel like that matters in this conversation. But we get together, we pray. We pray at our meeting all the time anyway on those meetings. And so we just spend extra time just praying for people to, in their groups, to really know and value the Lord and those kind of things. But we also have just tons of fun. And it's kind of reminiscent of what it is to be with your family in the U.S., which is just hopefully, maybe not for every family, but hopefully a time of joy and laughter and like reunion. We get to see these people a lot, but like where we're just being joyously together with the Lord, like grateful for his coming, is a blessing to us, I think, as a whole community. And then, gosh, it's a really long answer for you here, but then our single friends, right? We have a mentality that we kind of have to be family for each other. Like everybody, all of our married friends with their 30 children that they all seem to have, they come home at the end of the day and they have America time together with their family. That kind of helps them have strong identity in who they are in Christ, who they are as a family member and community, which is so important for us all. And so we have really gone out of our way to try and build that as a single community, as married people come with them also. Currently, our team has one married couple, and so they are a part of that as well. But it's in that vein of family together that on Christmas Eve, we go to one of the fancy hotels for Christmas Eve dinner, and it is expensive. We save up our pennies for it because that junk is not cheap. They have turkey, which is just absurd. They call it China chicken. I know. Why? Do the turkeys in China look like, I don't know, chicken somehow? It's confusing. But we have that. And then they all stay the night at my house. So we make all of the sleeping surfaces available for everyone. And it feels real Christmassy to all of us, just to like, we always are traveling on Christmas when we're in the US, like staying with family around or whatever. So to be able to wake up on Christmas morning with a family really feels like it matters to us as a team. And so we wake up, we make breakfast. Usually there's cinnamon rolls and bacon involved while we can get those things, praise the Lord. And we open Christmas gifts and then we just spend the day together. It's a little full schedule wise and people wise, but it feels really, filling too, you know, because there's so much community time together, which feels, when I think about the joy of Christmas in America, I love the decorations, I love the songs, I love the movies, etc. But it's that like being with your people for celebration that is what's kind of missing when you get here. And so we try and make that however we can. And the Lord has really given us good like opportunities for that with different people. So praise the Lord.
I think the chilling together, as you said, that has to be an aspect because that's what we do with our families, right? With your families, you don't always have a program. You actually can just sit around and laugh and not have an agenda and just be together. And so I think that's really special when we can do that with our cross-cultural partners and with our American teammates. And Sam, I wanted to specifically hear from you on this question, because I think you do both of those really, really well. And I think that's a big thing for people on the field to figure out is how much do I focus on investing in nationals and how much do I focus on Americans? And so I know we had to really figure that out. And in our first term, we were really observing other missionaries. How are people doing this? And we were watching, how are people celebrating Christmas? Should you have a big Christmas tree? Or is that too American? And all those things we think through. You've been on the field 11 years as a healthy single woman. And I think this is a big reason why, because you have your people and they are both South Asians and Americans and they're meaningful. And you're not trying to be apologetic about having really close American family. And I think that's really good. I also have learned over the years that playing games with our national friends is extremely fruitful in terms of bonding, right? It just does something when we're all laughing. And I know that Micah also has some really awesome games because I saw it recently on your social media that you were playing some hilarious games at your Christmas party with you, some of your local friends and partners. So tell us a little bit about that, Micah.
Yeah. So a couple, really, I don't know when we started this. It was, I can't remember, a couple years into being on the field. And I said, you know, I was like, I want some partners of ours to come to our house. I want to feed them American Christmas food. And I want to throw an American Christmas party because most of the people, that we have the joy of working with, they're from rural backgrounds and things like that. And I was like, I want them to experience an American Christmas. So they all came to our house. We invited their whole families, made every single American dish you can imagine. They were a little afraid of it, but they enjoyed it and ate it. And we played a whole bunch of Minute to Win It games. We opened up the Word together and did lots of stuff like that. But man, they opened up so much when we played those games. So it kind of became a tradition now that we've done just for years and years. Every year we have a big Christmas party and we invite our national partners, their whole families. We also invite people locally who are believers. And a lot of them that come, you know, their husband might not be a believer. So we actually have a very interesting mix of pastors, church planners, friends from our church, and non-believers as well. So we do just a big Christmas party, and we play Minute to Win It games. And if you want something that is just going to literally delight your soul more than anything, is to watch people who have never played a game like that before in their life to play these games where, I mean, they're running after one another. I mean, there is so much laughter, I cannot even tell you. So we do that every year, but it's also a chance for us to actually really love on, Shane, you were mentioning, to really love on our national partners and our families in a way that sometimes we don't always get the chance to do. We always do White Elephant, and we provide all of the gifts, just because realistically, like, they can't bring them, but it's a chance for us to really love on them. And when you start seeing Christians steal from one another, first they're like, oh, no, we cannot do this. Like, no, that's the whole point of the game. If you see a gift you want, you need to steal it. Well, when the first one does it, they're like, okay, fine, no problem. And so it's a free for all, and it's just the greatest thing. So I feel like that has become a highlight of our year, but also been a great time to bring in just some of even lost people, like I mentioned, to come in and just see how the Christian community interact with one another has been so great. Our girls are a part of choosing the games and choosing the gifts, especially for the kids that come. And so it just, man, it feels so sweet. We love that. And our partners literally talk about it all year long and look forward to it. So that's been really, really fun. And obviously we share the gospel in the midst of that, but that's been a highlight of our year and something that we look forward to and just absolutely love to do. And our kids love it. Even one of the pastors, he, for the White Elephant, he got a nice backpack. And he leaned over to my husband at the end and he just said, you know, for months and months now, my backpack has been ripped and I haven't been able to get a new one. He's like, and today I got a really nice backpack and I'm so thankful. And something so simple over a backpack. And we talked about that even with our girls. And, you know, just those things really just remind us again, Christmas is not about gifts. Christmas is not about all of these unnecessary things, but it's really about loving others in the midst of that and having a lot of fun. Definitely having a lot of fun with the community that we have is fantastic. So yeah, we love our annual Minute to Win It Christmas party game. It's fantastic. Yeah, it really gets them going. We do like husband versus wife and lots of those things. I mean, it's super fun. Yeah, we really like to shake it up.
Do you create marital problems? Are there?
No, I don't think so.
Still happily married afterwards?
I think so. I think everybody's good. I feel like I've never seen them laugh and smile so much together. So hopefully they're coming away stronger after it.
Man, I feel like maybe Jesse and Shaney have told me before that they can't compete against each other in games because it's a good long-term choice for their marriage to not do that.
We have grown in that, but we still have our moments during family game night, okay? Sometimes we think twice before we recommend family game night.
Reasonable.
I was thinking about what a big issue it is for us to figure out how to do money well on the field and how much to help when you see needs and with national partners. And I think Christmas is a great time to be generous to your partners and to give them a nice gift, to give their children gifts. And it's just a really acceptable and nice way to bless our partners. You all have mentioned that sometimes our friends and partners here aren't as prone to take rest or have a nice dinner together as a couple, both because of financial restraints, but also because maybe they just haven't had that be modeled for them or talked about that as being important. And so that is one of the things that we have started doing more in recent years is gifting them a dinner and being really specific. You have to use this to enjoy each other. Just for your family, you got to send us a photo and just take this and have something that will help you relax and enjoy each other. I think that many of our coworkers are really great at using Christmas for outreach, using Christmas as a time for us as Americans to love our neighbors, to even get to know people around us, to take some goodies, whether they're coming to our house for a Christmas party. We've had outreach Christmas parties, I think, in every home we've lived in, just as a chance to be a light for our neighbors, invite them over, get to know them, and share the true meaning of Christmas. It also can be a really sweet time to just join our local friends and partners in their own local churches' outreach. Do you all have any other suggestions for listeners on how to use Christmas for outreach?
We have at our church that the churches that exist in the city have a rhythm of going caroling is what they call it, where they get together a skit. So they'll prepare skits like that, like which they feel like are pretty effective in sharing the gospel, which is nice. And they'll go sing songs in different societies to try and open doors just for more people to hear the gospel and to have just touches even. That has not originated with us in any way. In fact, as foreigners, it's probably not best case scenario for us to really even be very much a part of that here where we are, just because it would cause more problems going into societies than it does good. But the churches find it to be a nice time to get their people easily involved in evangelism, because a lot of their people want to share the gospel but feel nervous, don't know how. And so they're doing it all together as a group with this really kind of easy end, which is we're going to go sing these Christmas songs and try and chat with people. And so that's been, I think, effective for some of our churches in the city. And our partners, I feel like almost Christmas, they maybe share the gospel actually a little less during the Christmas season because they're so busy with all of the programs that they're needing, even to facilitate, even with new churches that have planted. They perhaps have just seen other things go on such that they're like, they want to do gifts and they need someone to teach them about Santa and things like that. And so if anything, I feel like we're doing a little interference on the wrong thinking with most of the new believers that we have. And then trying again to just like be like, hey, don't look at what all these things are that you're seeing that you think are Christmas, but actually this is Christmas. Do you understand it? Do you believe it? And so it's a little more of a discipleship time, usually for us as a team, than an outreach time. But the churches in the city use it as a very strong outreach time, which is sweet.
Yeah, I feel like with the ladies here that I'm working with, we, for lack of better words, take advantage of the Christmas season in the sense of it is, I mean, obviously we can share the gospel all year long. We don't have to wait for Christmas or for Easter or anything like that. We can share all year long, but really getting just the local ladies that I'm doing stuff with excited about, hey, this is actually a super easy time of the year for you to go to the lost people around you, especially for some who are maybe more intimidated to do that. So one thing done for the last couple of years is getting all of the ladies, local ladies together, and kind of talking about Christmas, getting excited about it ourselves. And then we do the good old thing where we get together and we make a list. We all talk and try to think really specifically, even beyond just your neighbors, but hey, who are the people down the next street that you live on and the next street, just the people that you're really interacting with. And we make a list together and then we divide and conquer kind of like the week or so leading up to Christmas, send everyone out two by two different days. But we pair up a lot of those ladies together, national ladies together, which has been so sweet because then they're relying on one another. Some of them don't even know each other super well, but then they end up starting a sweet relationship together. And so then, so they basically go out and we get together and figure out how many fruitcakes they need. I'm sure we all know that in South Asia, they love to give the fruitcake. And I am still, and probably never will be a fan of the fruitcake, but they love it. So just using that as an opportunity to go to their neighbors has actually been really super sweet and great and has given a lot of ladies just kind of like confidence and growing in their competence to do that around Christmas time has actually been really great. And we've even seen like follow-up happen where it's just all totally national led because it's these ladies going out, just taking advantage of Christmas and how easy it is to share. So we definitely do that, which I really look forward to each year. And then we invite them to like we go to a really small little house church that's what our family does for church. And so we invite them to that. And yeah, it's been really sweet. That's also one of the things that I really look forward to the weeks leading up to Christmas.
Micah, you mentioned being able to involve your kids. And we as parents on the field, we're always looking for ways to involve our kids in the ministry. And Christmas is one of those easy ways. We've been able to join our local church here with a lot of community service during Christmas, making sweets together and giving them away, visiting the police station and doing the caroling at all kinds of different places. So literally going as a group and singing Christmas songs and then having a little Christmas message and giving out some food, little lunch boxes. So it's a nice time to serve our communities and just be normal Christians and just love the communities around us. How have you all thought about how American to be in your Christmas celebrating or Christmas decorating, and how aware of how the context around you or your local partners would celebrate or decorate for Christmas? How have you all thought about that over the years?
Yes, I think that's a great question. I remember very early on in the, I think it was our first term, I had a decent sized Christmas tree, and a neighbor came over to our house, and she came in our door and she saw the tree and she just froze. And her mouth dropped open and she said, "I've never seen a Christmas tree like that before." And she was just mesmerized. And so much to the fact that she left immediately and got all of her neighbors. The next thing I knew, I had like all these people in my house looking at my Christmas tree, which was a great opportunity to share the gospel and talk about Christmas. But I still remember that. And so I think that's a great question. Like, as we consider, you know, how much is too much? How can the tree be too big? Can the house be too decorated? I don't know. Over the years, I've found that bringing nationals into our home and them seeing it decorated, they have loved it. And if anything, it's just provided an opportunity to share the gospel, like you said, to talk about this is how we celebrate our holiday and this is the things we do. And it's really so easy to keep it Christ-centered. I think if anything, maybe the question our family has always asked is how can we just keep it not American or Western or how contextualized, but how gospel-centered can we keep it, if that makes sense. So we have a pretty good sized tree and a lot of things like that. That's where we've kind of landed. Like, our Christmas tree is always up by Thanksgiving, but like the day after Thanksgiving, I'm like, it's Christmas time and our house looks like Santa exploded, you know? So.
Yeah. For us, you know, this culture is so about intense, sparkly, colorful decoration that it feels like maybe if we weren't a little extra in our decorating, they would think we don't even really care, you know? Like, it's just our evidence that this is something we put ourselves into a little bit. I mean, it's true. Previous to today, I have thought about this question zero times in my life. I never was like, how much is the right amount? I was like, I love this and I'm going to do it. And so, and our partners love it, you know, like our Christmas tree is this, it's a selfie point for every family that we have. They all want a picture in front of it. We'll have guards sometimes from our society downstairs who come up and ask to take a picture in front of our Christmas tree, which like they've spoken to me four times and they've heard there's a tree that they want to see. And so it seems like it mostly just makes people happy. Well, there are some limitations, of course, because we're here less than there used to be. There's way more Christmas stuff available than there used to be. But we like make some of our Christmas decorations. And I think our partners really like that. They don't come from a crafting culture. And so whenever we can, we involve them in the crafting. And they love that. Stuff like that just seems to, where we try to involve them as much as we can, seems to like bring them in on the joy of it all. Like, they love to see the decoration, but they also love to like be a part of it as much as they can. And so that's really been fun for us.
In our first term, we lived in a very villagey context, not Western at all. So very different from where I'm living right now. And we had a little Charlie Brown Christmas tree that was literally in a flower pot. I mean, I could hold it in my hands very easily, but our neighbors, our local friends, they truly related it to the tree that they had in front of their house. That's a Tulsi tree for idol worship that they do decorate when they are doing idol worship. And they came in my house, they saw my decorated tree, they saw my scented candles, and the candles also related to worship. And they really thought, oh, you worship like we do. This makes sense. So there were some things for us to think through in that context. Now, where we live, we have shopping malls that have big Christmas displays, and most people in our city have some awareness of Christmas. Even though they don't know the true meaning, they have an awareness of it. That may not be helpful, but even our more upper class neighbors, some of them have Christmas trees. They're Hindus, but they have a Christmas tree because they want to celebrate all the holidays of the year with their kids. So it has been something for us to think about a bit. And I think it's okay for our Christmas decorating and our Christmas celebrating to vary from family to family, from person to person, and for it even to reflect our personalities. I remember in my first term observing one family who had beautiful American decor in their house, and the wife was just one of those natural, like, amazing homemakers, and we loved going to their house for American meals, but it was really fancy and elaborate. And I remember thinking, oh, I didn't know you could do that here. Like, I didn't know that missionaries could do that. And then others who were way more local feel and simple furniture. And so I think we all think through that when we come on the field, and some go all out with all those things, and some prefer to be more simple, and it's okay. Like you said, Micah, the main thing is for it to be kingdom focused. I mentioned before that I did feel homesick in my first Christmas on the field. I remember it very clearly. It somehow became a core memory, apparently. I remember sitting on my balcony in our little house and journaling and calling our families in a difficult way because of the lack of technology back then. The first Christmas overseas can be unique and a big adjustment. So what word of encouragement would you have for either new people in their field of service or people who maybe have been on the field for a while, but they do feel homesick and they do miss their families during this time of year?
Yeah, I remember my very first Christmas here, and it was not ideal by any means. We had only been on the field for maybe two and a half months at that point, and we were living 6 or 7 hours away from our entire team, and we were going to go and spend Christmas with our team, and I was super excited thinking, we're going to have an American Christmas. It's going to be great. And then we got to their house, and they're like, hey, we're going to local church service, and it's going to be in a local language, and it's going to be like 6 hours long, and then we're going to go spend the time visiting people all day. And I'm being really honest right now, but I was super upset. I was thinking, this is how we celebrate Christmas. And I had a really stinky attitude, like really bad, and was super frustrated by it. So I can still remember kind of just being a little shocked as to why Christmas looked so different here. By God's grace, I have come very far in that. Truly, I love this aspect now of what Christmas looks like on the field. And it often involves spending time with your church and even going and sharing with people. I love that now, but I do remember how hard that was, because your heart does ache for your family and for your home and all of, and that's not wrong. That's not a wrong thing. But I think that also speaks to just the importance of investment in things like language and culture and developing relationships with people on the field, because the Lord is so good to, in His timing, provide great relationships with people. And when you can understand the language more, you know, those things can become actually like a true delight, because you love, I mean, I think of the relationships that we've built over the years and the people that we celebrate with nationals, with our team here, but also with nationals, that I kind of can't imagine spending Christmas any differently than with all of them. We do a very kind of American Christmas, where the singles on our team spend the night with us and we all have Christmas morning together and a big meal. But then we go out among the lost and spend time with our church. And I love it. I can't think of anything differently. And I think that's just, again, a testament to growing with people here. But that does take time. And even something a couple of years ago, somebody shared with me that really encouraged me was just the thought of, you know, they said, like, Mary, you know, we're talking about Christmas, right? But Mary, when she was about to give birth, she found herself very far away from her family. And probably her heart was longing and aching to be around and surrounded by her family, and probably the most difficult, scary time of her life. And so I think just even that thought of, sometimes it is hard and it's not wrong, but Christ can even meet us where we're at and provide people that feel just like family in His timing. And I think over the years, the investment in people here can actually bring a sweetness to Christmas that I had honestly probably never experienced in the States, but experienced that here now. So yeah, that's what I think about all of that.
I am pretty sure this was my first Christmas here. The first Christmas I remember here, was I was here for 2 years, and there was a girl who was with me for 2 years. But we, being the deeply spiritual people that we were in this city. It was like a rural-er city than we are in now. And we didn't have any national friends. We didn't even have a very like good idea of where to go to church. We had very little going for us in terms of like Merry Christmas kind of things. So we, listen, and you can judge me. It's fine. I deserve it. I judge myself. So we had a Star Wars marathon on Christmas. We watched 6 Star Wars movies on Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus. Like, that's how it went for us. We had decorated. We were trying, I think, to like kind of just be like, let's get through it. Like, let's find some way to have the day pass. It's something kind of American, whatever. It was, I think I'm going to hopefully have it as my low point for Christmas from now on until the end of time. I hope to not have any less good, maybe less Jesus-y Christmas than that. But now, like knowing what I know now, I think my word of encouragement would be for somebody who's in a situation where they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know the language. I don't know anybody, particularly in a place like that. Like where I am now, there's opportunities to join with churches and stuff like that. If I was alone here, it would be so different. But now I see we could have made cookies and taken them to all of our neighbors and just been like, Merry Christmas. At least that would have been something, you know. We could have done more. And now I see that. Like, we could have figured out ways to serve people around us and to like make it more intentional than we did. So I would say just like intentionally look for ways to love people, right? I mean, that's the whole point of what we're doing, is trying to love people. And so, and doing that on Christmas feels, even if you don't have anybody else to do it with, like, figure out how to find someone to extra love and to celebrate in that way, I would say is probably the best thing. Because I compare it to COVID Christmas. I was in this city. I was alone in terms of Americans. And so plus point was, when I was here, I was able to be with our partners while they were dealing with COVID Christmas themselves, trying to figure out how to do all of that. But like I got to spend time with just the partners on Christmas. There were no Americans to be found. And for our friends, again, who don't have families that are believers, it was like so sweet that we just got to come together and like be together on Christmas. And I think I would encourage anyone who is trying to figure out what to do with the limited language and cultural experience they have to find somebody else who's in need and to help be a part of meeting that need through your presence in their life and just loving them. Because there's just a great Christmas kind of testimony, you know?
We're going to do a real quick, to close it up, rapid fire round. Okay. These are quick questions and you just give the first answer that comes to your head. Okay. And Sam is very competitive, Micah. So you better be ready. Favorite Christmas food?
Mashed potatoes.
KFC.
Favorite Christmas movie?
The Grinch.
The Santa Claus.
Favorite Christmas song?
Oh, Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
No, it's not spiritual, but the Christmas song with the chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Mm.
Cozy. That's a very cozy one.
I love
one.
Jesus, too, you guys. I do. Yes. I love Jesus. I'm sorry. Thanks for coming.
I love All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey, right? Mm. That's a good one. So there you go.
That's right. If we said Santa Baby, then
if
we would
get fired.
If you said
Santa Baby, we were.
That is not a favorite.
Yeah. Okay. What's the favorite thing you miss about being in America?
Family.
Family. Our family always plays a game called Fibbage. If you've ever heard it, then you know what it is. We play it every family get together and it is fun.
Waking up on Christmas morning with all your family and all the traditions and letting your mom cook for you. It's so sweet. Thank you both. This has been really fun. I've loved hearing your perspectives. I think you shared a ton of great ideas for our listeners. And I hope that our listeners feel really encouraged where they're at to make the most of the season, to think about both how to personally draw near to Jesus and worship him, but also how to use it as a time to love the people around us, our local church, and the lost community around us. Well, I'm going to end by just reading from John 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Whatever you all do, listeners, as extravagant as you get with Christmas baking and carols and movies, or as simple as you are, it doesn't matter. We pray that you will be rejoicing that God became flesh and we have seen his glory and that he is full of grace and truth. So we pray that this episode will just spur you on to draw closer to Jesus and rejoice in his incarnation and his love for us.